If you would, turn in your Bibles this morning to Leviticus chapter 17. Leviticus chapter 17. One of my good friends who was on the faculty at Polk State College was Dr. Frank Schlichter. Frank was a retired plastic surgeon. He moved to Bartow, and for many years, he taught anatomy physiology at Polk State. And every anatomy, and he's been here, you've met Frank, he spoke for me one Sunday years ago, but every time he started an anatomy physiology class at Polk State, he read this passage from the Bible, Leviticus chapter 17. If you look at it with me, look at verse 10, and whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel and of the stranger that sojourn among you, that eateth any manner of blood, let me get my eyes focused here, I will even set my face against that soul that eateth blood and will cut him off from among his people. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Now look at verse 14. For it is the life of all flesh, the blood of it is for the life thereof. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, ye shall eat the blood of no manner of flesh, for the life of all flesh is the blood thereof. Whosoever eateth it shall be cut off. In the New Testament, 290 times it talks about the fact that there is the love of God. 290 times it talks about the fact that God loves us, but 1,300 times it refers to the atonement, that Jesus died for our sins on the cross. 2 Corinthians 5:21, he made him to be sin that knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And 1,300 times in the New Testament it says that salvation is through the blood of Jesus. Early on in the history of humans, they realized that when the blood runs out of a body, the person is dead. And so blood became sacred. In fact, it got so perverted, we had human sacrifice. If you study human sacrifice like we do in world religion, the Aztecs probably sacrificed more people than anybody else in history. When they dedicated the great temple in Tenochtitlan in 1497, they sacrificed 80,000 people in 1 week. They cut out people's hearts because the gods needed the blood. And so there's this idea in humans that the blood is sacred, and that's what makes something kosher today. You eat kosher food and pastrami, corned beef, kosher pickles, good stuff. And it's made under the supervision of the rabbis, and the blood has to be drained out of the meat. You go to the grocery store across the street here, and they have blood sausage. Some of you have eaten blood pudding. Has anybody here eaten blood pudding? Don't get around much, do you? Okay, all right. But there is such a thing. But we do not eat the blood. In fact, that seems kind of gross to us, doesn't it? But the blood was a sacred thing, and people recognized it. Now, blood's a very interesting thing, and my blood's red. Every time they take blood, I'm glad it's red, okay? But there are a lot of different kinds of tissue in the human body. There's muscle, there's fat, there's nerve tissue, there's glands, bone, connective tissue, but there's blood, 75,000 miles of blood vessels in the human body, 60 trillion blood cells in the human body. Every blink of your eye, 1.2 million red blood cells die in your body every time you blink an eye. Blood cell lives 120 days, and then it's done its job, and it's over. In a lifetime, your bone marrow will produce 2,000 pounds of blood cells. Every cell makes 75,000 round trips through your heart to wherever it's supposed to be going. 75,000 trips. Now, Genesis chapter 2 talks about when God made Adam. Genesis 2:7, the Lord God formed a man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul, and the life is in the blood. It's interesting when you look at world mythologies, many, many world mythologies have the story that humans were made out of the dust of the earth, out of the mud, out of the clay. That's a common theme in many mythologies. In fact, it's interesting to me that 124 mythologies teach that there was a worldwide flood that flooded the world one time and destroyed almost everything. 124 mythologies talk about a worldwide flood. So does that mean there really was one? Of course it does. Let me talk about blood for a minute. Life is in the blood. First of all, blood circulates. Blood is the only tissue that doesn't stay still in your body. Now, we're talking about tissue cells. The blood circulates. Everything else stays in its place. Aren't you glad your gallbladder doesn't move around? Aren't you glad that your liver doesn't move around? Okay? But the blood circulates. It's made to circulate. It's made to keep going to every cell. It permeates your body. It's the only tissue that's not fixed in one place. And the blood of Jesus permeates everything. The blood of Jesus permeates the hardest heart. The blood of Jesus covers the worst sin. I talked to a person one time and they said, "But you don't know how bad I've been in my life." And my answer was, "But God does. And he loves you, and he's willing to forgive anything that you've done because he knows about it already." Never forget that God is not surprised. God is never surprised. He knows. And he loves us anyway. Blood circulates. Blood cleanses. Blood carries oxygen to the cells of our body, and it takes away waste material. It flushes out the waste. Hebrews 9:22 says, "Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin." The blood has to circulate. The blood has to be applied in our physical bodies, and it has to be applied in our spiritual life. An atheist said one time to somebody, "Well, how can blood cleanse sin?" And the person answered them, "Well, how can water quench thirst?" He said, "Well, I don't know." He said, "Well, I don't know either, but it does." It's kind of like the guy I heard one time in the mountains of Tennessee. He says, "I don't know how a brown cow can eat green grass and produce white milk, but they do it, and it's a good thing." So, you know, just because we don't understand it doesn't mean it can't happen. Blood circulates, blood cleanses, blood is continuous. Your heart never stops beating. Now, if you have a pacemaker, anybody here have a pacemaker? Okay, one person. I would think more than one person would have one, but Donnie, that makes you special. Now, ever so often, you're called to the doctor's office, and he stops your pacemaker to see if it will start, right? I mean, the doctor goes in and kills you to see if your pacemaker works. Yeah, your heart beats all the time. I had a friend that had a pacemaker, and his doctor would come in and say, "Now, look, I'm going to stop your heart, and I'm going to kill you to test your pacemaker, and if it doesn't come on, I want to apologize in advance. In case you die, I want to apologize in advance." But yeah, it continuously works. Your blood never stops circulating. Your blood never stops working. I played with my new cat again last night. Guess what? I bled. I mean, he loves to play, and he doesn't realize how sharp his claws are and how sharp his teeth are. So, you know, you've been seeing me the last few weeks with all these boo-boos on my arms. That's because I play with my cat, okay? What a great cat. Anyway, 1 John 1:9, the blood of Jesus is always working. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, some people worry. Some people, I guess they like to worry. But some people worry, "Well, what about the sins I can't remember? What about the sins I don't confess?" I think that verse takes care of it, folks. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. I think those are the ones we remember and confess. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, I think that's the ones we've forgotten or the ones we forget to mention. I think that verse covers everything. Chuck Missler used to call it the Christian's bar of soap. The Christian's bar of soap. The blood circulates, it cleanses, it's continuous, it's combining. All people have the same blood. Now, I've got the one that everybody wants. I'm O positive, the universal donor. Acts 17:26, and he hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell in all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed in the bounds of their habitation that they should seek the Lord. He hath made of one blood all people. We have the same blood. We have the same DNA. We don't have animal DNA, and we don't have animal blood. We have human blood. It's different. In the 1950s, Watson and Crick discovered the DNA helix and how complicated it is. And if any one thing is out of order, we wouldn't have people. But it's all designed and in order. We have one DNA. By the way, DNA seems to indicate that all humans on earth have a common ancestor. Could we call that common ancestor Adam and Eve? But we all have the same DNA. We share it. It's combining. The blood of Jesus makes us brothers and sisters in Christ. I really don't appreciate people coming up and to say, well, I'm your brother. Well, you're not my brother. You're not my sister unless you belong to the family of God. I'm sorry. Not everybody in this world is my brother and my sister. John 1:12 says, as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name. Not everybody in this world is my brother and my sister. I do not believe in the brotherhood of man. That's not biblical. I believe that we are brothers and sisters in the family of God if we've received Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. But if we have, we are brothers and sisters, and God loves us. Galatians 3:27-29, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Blood can also kill you. Have you ever known anybody that died of blood poisoning? Human blood got poisoned with Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve sinned. They died. I've told you often it wasn't the apple on the tree. It was the pear on the ground. All right? They sinned. And Romans chapter 5 verse 12 says, as by man sin entered the world and death by sin, even so death passed to all men, for all have sinned. That's the original blood poisoning. You know, you carry infection in your blood. If you're running a fever, you have an infection. Infection lives in your bloodstream. When you have a fever, you feed a cold, you starve a fever. What does that mean? That's actually true. That means that any kind of sugar you eat is going to feed the infection in your bloodstream, so lay off sugar. Any carbs you eat, like bread, rice, potatoes, turns to sugar in your system, so you need to lay off of carbs when you have a fever, because sugar feeds infection. We've had blood poisoning for thousands of years. It's only Jesus that cleans up the blood. The blood of Jesus is complete. Blood brings life to every part of your body. When you have diabetes, your circulation gets worse and worse, and finally you don't get circulation to certain things. And some people lose their toes, some people lose a foot, a leg, because circulation is bad or circulation stops. Blood has to circulate to keep us alive, and it's complete. It keeps us alive. Exodus 12:13. God said to Moses, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. 1 John 2:2, he is the propitiation for our sins. And not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. The blood is complete. If you are covered by the blood of Jesus, you are completely forgiven. You are completely into the family of God. You are completely empowered to live a spiritual life. You are completely given spiritual gifts. The blood completes it. In 1927, yellow fever was a bad thing. I was studying the Civil War. John Bell Hood, the Confederate general, after the war moved to Louisiana with his wife and his 12 children, and his wife and 12 children died from yellow fever. Whole families died. Whole towns died from yellow fever. 1927, in Africa, there was an African native that got yellow fever and lived. And so they took his blood serum and they extracted an inoculation for yellow fever. Because of one man, the whole world is free of yellow fever now, if you get inoculated. And it's the same way with Jesus, because Jesus' death on the cross, the whole human race can be forgiven of their sins. It's the same principle. Blood circulates, it cleanses, it's continuous, it's combining, it can be corrupting and killing, it is complete, and it is conquering. We're winners because of the blood of Jesus. How many of you have ever asked God to protect your house, your car, your trip? The Bible says the angels of the Lord surround them that fear him. How many of you have ever prayed, "Dear God, through the blood of Jesus and the name of Jesus, I ask that you protect my house. I ask that you protect my car. I ask that you protect this church." How many of you ever do that when you stay in a hotel room? How many of you have ever stayed in a hotel room? You have no idea what's going on in that hotel room before you checked in. Don't you think you ought to spiritually clean out that hotel room before you sleep in it? Have you ever done that? Yeah, through the blood of Jesus, okay? What is Revelation chapter 12, verses 10 and 11? That's a great passage. Revelation 12, 10 and 11. "I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, 'Now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down.'" It's another name for the devil, the accuser of the brethren. You ever feel guilty when you haven't done anything? That's who's doing it, the accuser of the brethren. "The accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night, and they overcame him." Wow. What's the formula for overcoming the devil? Verse 11. "They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb." Number one. Number two, by the word of their testimony. And number three, they loved not their lives unto death. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. The blood conquers. Through the blood, we do all things through Christ who strengthens us. It is through the blood. Blaise Pascal, the great French scientist, said, "There are two kinds of people. The righteous who know they are sinners, and sinners who think they are righteous." The only way to God is through the blood of Jesus. Charles Spurgeon said, "There may be some sins of which a man cannot speak, but there is no sin that the blood of Jesus cannot wash away." What's the message of the Bible? The simple Roman road is this. Romans 3:23, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Romans 6:23, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Romans 5:8, "God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And Romans 10:9 and 10, "Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." That's what we believe. We always give people an opportunity to make a decision. If the Holy Spirit is convicting you, if God is leading you to make a decision this morning, then you need to make it as we sing this invitation hymn. We're going to sing number 136, "Are You Washed in the Blood?" Number 136. This is our invitation hymn. God is leading you to make a decision. You do it. If God is not leading you to make a decision, then use this hymn as a hymn of commitment to God. Let's stand together, number 136.